morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. We have about 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast on the Columbia River Bar, we have combined seas 3 to 5 feet. They'll temporarily build to around 6 feet during those max ebb current times. So today is a little bit less turbulent than we've heard in recent forecasts where the seas were over twice that high. But still, the ebb is nothing to mess with, which is why it is in the marine weather forecast. So around 7:45 this morning and around 8 p.m. this evening, the bar will be at its max ebb stage. We'll be entering it. And so that is a time for most vessels, except perhaps ships and Coast Guard vessels. With ships with skilled pilots and Coast Guard vessels should stay away from the bar during those max ebb current times. Northeast winds today overall in our forecast, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 knots. Wind waves from the northeast, 1 foot at 4 seconds apart, and west swells, 4 feet at 13 seconds apart. So we have northeast winds and west swells. That could create what they call confused seas, where the forces at play out there in terms of weather and sea conditions are kind of at odds with one another, coming from almost opposite directions. So that could create some sloppy conditions out there. And today we're going to be talking about kind of a mishap that happened off the East Coast during a storm. 70 containers, at least 70, maybe more, fell off of a container ship in a big storm. And they're now floating, probably most of them are floating in the ocean, probably just at or below the surface, representing a pretty big hazard to navigation out there, to the point where the Coast Guard has issued kind of a warning to people with vessels in that area. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. 4 inbounders, 7 in the Astoria Anchorage. We have some of those are going upriver. We have 2 at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Atlantic Hawk. She is a bulk carrier arriving from China, headed for the Kalama Anchorage. I would put my money on her possibly being corn, soy, or wheat that she's picking up at the port of Kalama. She'll pass Astoria around 5 p.m., and you might see her in Kalama by 9 p.m. The Bergen is arriving next from Vancouver, B.C. She's a bulk carrier headed to the Astoria Anchorage and will probably arrive there about 6:30 p.m., drop her anchor, and wait for a bit. So she will then enter the awaiting orders category of ships that just sit out there for a bit. Sometimes they undergo inspections. Sometimes they're waiting for a berth upriver, sometimes both. And so they spend some time in the waters off just sort of waiting, which at this time of year is a really nice thing to be able to do in some ways because they get to rest up a little from all that bouncing around out in the ocean that is happening right now in this turbulent weather time of year. The New Boundary is next inbound. She is arriving from offshore, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She, too, will be there at about 6:30. She's a bulk carrier. The Moonbright SW is arriving from Port Angeles. She's headed for the Vancouver Anchorage upriver. So she'll pass Astoria probably in the wee hours, the early morning on Wednesday, and be in the Vancouver Anchorage up there maybe by about 6:30 in the morning tomorrow. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Star Crimson headed for Portland to pick up wheat at about 11 a.m. That would put her in the area of Portland by about 5 p.m. The Ken Conn is heading from the Astoria Anchorage to the Kalama Anchorage. She'll leave there about 6 p.m. You might see her there in Kalama around 11 p.m. The Rising Sun is heading for the Vancouver Anchorage from Astoria's Anchorage. She'll leave a little bit after noontime, maybe get to Vancouver around 6:30. That leaves the Gratia Universalis, the Panayota K, the Easter N, and the Spring Progress, all awaiting orders in Astoria's Anchorage. The Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side of the river opposite Tongue Point. The Energy G and the Belo Horizonte are also awaiting orders there. In our outbounders, we have the Puget Sound. She's leaving a berth in Portland that I think she's at a cement facility there. She'll leave around 6 a.m., 6:30, maybe past Astoria outbound around 12:30 p.m. The Daria Ohm is leaving Kalama, probably corn, soy, or wheat on board there, leaving around 11:30, maybe passing Astoria around 4:30 p.m. The Sheila Ann is leaving the U.S. gypsum plant around 11:30 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around maybe 12:30, maybe mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock or so. Very interesting vessel. I happened to drive by the U.S. gypsum plant yesterday on my way to Portland and saw that ship there. And she is a very unusual vessel. She's a vessel that is designed to load and unload her own cargo, which is always gypsum. She's dedicated to that gypsum cargo. And sometimes she probably carries crushed rock and things like that, but heavy mineral cargo. She uses a conveyor belt system that's built into the ship, and a big arm comes out and connects up to a conveyor system on shore. So this is a really cool proprietary design for this ship that allows it to interface specifically with the cargo facilities on shore that it knows it's going to be going to. So the Sheila Ann is perfectly designed to connect with the equipment that's on shore at the U.S. gypsum plant, and that means that she can very efficiently unload gypsum. So the gypsum comes in. U.S. gypsum handles gypsum from Mexico. In this case, the ship comes up from gypsum mines in Mexico and delivers it there. The Aerosort is arriving, is outbound from, so the Sheila Ann, actually, just to keep going on the gypsum thing, because I think that's very interesting, she is delivering part of her cargo of gypsum there at the U.S. gypsum plant. She'll probably go up to perhaps Tacoma, so she's probably going to go north from here and deliver the rest there. The Aerosort is leaving the port of Portland from a berth that handles break bulk cargo. So maybe pallets, big pieces of things, boxes, rather than, say, bulk wheat or something like that is probably on board. So maybe steel, something like that. The Phoenix Leader is leaving the port of Portland. She has brand new Hondas on board. She'll leave there at about 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. Well, shipping containers. I saw this on the gcaptain.com website. I get alerts. You can like them on Facebook, and they'll send you stories about marine stuff. And so this popped up on my Facebook feed. GCaptain.com is a really great portal for maritime news, which I like to remind everybody about. It's really interesting to just go there and look at what's happening. But this kind of a story has relevance outside the industry because it represents a threat to public safety. So let me read you a little bit about what happened. This is a statement from the company Maersk. Maersk Shipping is one of the largest shippers in the world, and a lot of their ships are container ships, which are those ships. We don't have them on the Columbia River right now, but we did for many years. They're the ones that go by with the boxes stacked up on them, those metal boxes, rectangular boxes, like the ones that you see on trains and on semi-trucks. So that's the chain of commerce. The ships bring the containers from, say, Asia over here, say, to Portland or to Seattle or to San Francisco or L.A. They get loaded on trucks and trains, and that's how we get our stuff, our 90% of everything. You may have heard that expression from that book that was released a few years ago about how we get all of our goods. So during a terrible storm off the coast of Norfolk, Virginia, on its way to somewhere off the coast of Virginia, South Carolina, the ship got caught in a terrible storm, and 70 to 73 shipping containers went overboard in high seas. So now what's happening is those containers are still out there. The weather may be too bad to go out and try and recover any of them, and the Coast Guard has let people know that those are out there. So if you ever saw the film All Is Lost with Robert Redford alone, sailing a solo sailor on a sailboat that hit a container, containers sometimes just float a little below the surface, maybe a corner sticks up, very hard to see, certainly can't see them at night, represents a significant, hitting one of those could sink your vessel. So a little bit about how often does this happen? Well, an average, according to a 2017 survey of ocean carriers by the World Shipping Council, an average of 1,390 containers are lost at sea each year. When you consider how big the oceans are, that's not very much. But when you think about, if you watch maritime news like I do, every once in a while you'll see a mishap from like a sailboat sank because it just hit what they call an unknown object. That's what they usually say in the Coast Guard things. An unknown object, and then the boat just sank and they had to be rescued. If they were lucky, they had to be rescued by the Coast Guard. So things are out there floating. This represents a pretty small threat, really, compared to other threats that are out there in terms of just weather and difficulties at sea. But it is a little daunting. If I had a boat, I think I would, on that side of the country, I would definitely stay home, not go out there until that situation was resolved. You're listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.